Okay, so this is the first day of our kind of the formal structure of the winter retreat. And kind of ready or not, we're starting. And I'm not ready. I just feel amazingly awful. Just no energy. I was sort of this morning came down. I actually did wake up at 4 o'clock. I was sort of okay. And I was just, there's no way I can get down. I've still managed to, so I came down at for breakfast. Sort of moping around. It's just, give me some caffeine. I need a direct injection. Is there any syringes around? But that doesn't preclude anybody else from beginning the retreat and getting going. I mean, I shouldn't be that long before I'm functional again. It's just about, I guess today will be a week since I came back. And and whatever the case, we want to get going on a regular routine and getting into the swing of winter retreat mode. And just having a formal schedule, I think, is helpful for getting everybody kind of cohesive as a group and practicing together. So just trying to, by one each other's example, encouraging each other in the practice, and picking up the theme of, I think, establishing the roots of our practice. It's easy in through the year to, get distracted or caught up in other things, and just to be able to come back to the roots of formal practice in order to establish our foundations. And of course, just the foundation in the Eightfold Path, really. There's no kind of magic technique or the ultimate method for Dhamma practice, but it's really putting attention on those foundations of Sila, Samadhi, Panya, and it's not all that difficult. And certainly the Buddha emphasized the world would not be devoid of awakened beings as long as there are people practicing in the Eightfold Path. So it's a very simple equation, but it's important to put our attention onto that cultivation of the path. Particularly for today, it's going to be, of course, it's not going to conform to anything that we've done in the past or consider a start of the winter retreat, because we, myself and be good to get a group of other people to go this morning and send Iris off. She's going to be going to Arizona, and they've got a place in a care facility for her already set up. It's a medevac thing where there's an ambulance coming to pick her up and then to take her to a flight. I think it's some kind of private company that does that, so that she'll be flown to Tucson. And of course, nobody's expectation is that this is a treatment or a cure. This is to facilitate her care for the end of her life, and to be able to look after her more completely or easily, and particularly for her to be close to her parents and sister in Tucson. And of course, it's also for her mother right now. Yeah, it's very stressful. So that having real professional support is what is needed and helpful. Of course, decisions are not always straightforward, clear, free from messiness. It's a bit. Iris always wanted to be in Redwood Valley and close to the monastery until she died, but it's just not going to work in that way. So that for be good for a group of us to go and give Ira support. I think they're coming to pick her up at 10, so they'd be good to get over there sooner rather than later, so that it's not just we roll up and then they kind of roll her out and we're sort of a wave as the van goes off sort of thing, but to actually be there and be a kind of a comforting support for her. So that on a certain level, it's a great way to begin the winter retreat, because these realities, we do the chant every day, you know, I am of the nature to sicken, and I've not gone beyond sickness, I'm the nature to die, I've not gone beyond dying. And it's easy to chant it and bring it to mind, but it's a different thing when it's really right in your face. So that to be able to take that, taking that in, because one doesn't quite know what's going to happen, how things will play out. It's like Ajahn Pavaro, beginning of December, end of November, beginning of December, just as I was arriving, I think, he and Ajahn Acharan and a group of lay people were going to Bodh Gaya, to the holy sites, and for doing practice period at in Bodh Gaya. And the day before they left, they went for medical checkups, and the doctor found a 2.5-centimeter spot in Pavaro's lungs, so that the doctors wanted him to stay and get further tests. And actually, Pavaro found out later that the doctor was talking to his assistant off to the side, and Dao's son, Duki, was overheard them talking, and was probably talking fairly freely because Pavaro's a Furhang, so couldn't understand what they were saying. But he was saying, "Oh, this, my brother-in-law just had this same kind of thing that he'd noticed, and at the time was stage 2 cancer, and then he died 6 months later." So the doctor was very concerned and wanted him to stay for tests, and Pavaro sort of said, "No, I'm going. If it is, and I can't do much about it, and what I can do right now is go and practice, and I'll come back." And we were already scheduled to go for, I don't know, it was 2 weeks or 3 weeks in practice in Bodh Gaya. So that went off, and then set up an appointment for when he returned, for his return flight, and went to Smiti Way, which is where he was. That was where it was all happening. The very one of Thailand's top hospitals. So the doctor had set it up, is waiting for him, did a CT scan, and there was nothing there. So that, of course, the doctor was amazed, and who knows what happened, but there's nothing there right now. So that impermanence, uncertainty, is the order of the day. But to be always reflecting on that. And he said, he spent time with me while I was in Thailand, and was saying how that really informing his sense of appreciation and dedication. I said, okay, and these things you don't really know. He said, the assumption is because both his parents actually lived to a ripe old age, that somehow he would be immune to any kind of major illness or fairly somewhat early death, but there's no guarantee. So that to be able to bring up the that sense of sangveka, of a spiritual urgency. It's like there's one of the, I guess there, maybe it's in the Badekaratta Sutta, or the phrase that sort of ends, there is no bargaining with the king of death. Yeah, that's the way it is. You don't can't cut any deals, because there aren't any. And so to be able to bring up that sense of urgency and diligence, sincerity in one's practice. So that we could take about half a dozen people this morning. Beth, will you drive? Just myself, Ajahn Kurun Dhammo. Anybody else? Okay, yeah, be nice to because it'll be the yeah. That was very sweet the other day, Selma, just sort of saying, you know, acknowledging that they were taking Iris back to Arizona, and then she said, we will bring her back. Yeah, sort of that sense of, okay, when after the funeral, bring her ashes back and bring her back to the mountain. So it's very sweet. Okay, so three, Chunda, Kwee, Kasupo, Chunda, and Kachana, you're... Okay, you had your... We'll give that priority. So half a dozen of us, we can squeeze into the van. We can't all go in at once. It's just too much. And also, just make sure that the energy is subdued. It's not really the time to engage. And just try and be there for support for Iris and for Selma. Okay, and otherwise we'll leave everybody else here sending loving kindness, dedicating merit, and sort of sending Iris off with a, sort of a sea of good wishes. Okay.